My guest at this time is Frank Donatelli. He served as political director in the Reagan White House and is the former chairman of GOPAC. That's an organization focused on recruiting solid Republican candidates for local and state office as a way of grooming them for national campaigns. He joins me now to offer his insights into the success and the legacy of President Ronald Reagan, who on Friday would be 104 years old. Frank served not only in the Reagan White House, but on his presidential campaigns. And Frank, obviously, your time with the late president goes back nearly 40 years now. What was it about his record, his charisma, his ideology that drew you to his cause back in the 70s?
Greg, first of all, thanks for having me on. I just think that the country was headed in a fundamentally wrong direction in the 1970s. The economy was stagnating, and we were on the defensive all around the world to Soviet communism, and we needed, I think, somebody strong, somebody with a vision to reverse these trends. And Reagan just sort of stood out as somebody that had very strong beliefs, but more importantly, somebody that could actually implement those beliefs in a coherent program. And so here we are all these years later. And I think the country has concluded that the 8 years of Reagan's presidency were an unqualified success.
And you can certainly see that in the reaction following his passing in 2004. And, Frank, you've seen it at every Republican presidential campaign since Reagan left office from 1988 all the way up to the present. Everyone's trying to claim the mantle of Reagan. Was it the success of the legacy? Is it the fact that he was most likely the most conservative modern-day Republican president? What is it that everyone still wants a piece of?
They say nothing succeeds like success. The Lombardi Trophy is named for the man that won the first two Super Bowls. And so politicians will always look for successful models to emulate. And I think the Reagan years, we saw a disastrous economy transformed into the fastest growing economy that we've had in a long time, 18 million new jobs. And on the foreign policy front, we began the process that ultimately saw the demise of the Soviet Union and international communism. So not a bad 8 years as far as a successful presidency, if you're looking to emulate something. I think also it's worth noting, though, that all these years later, as we look back on the Reagan years, while there were very, very tough policy and philosophical debates, the government seemed to work a little better. In other words, the public's business sort of got done on time, even though, as I say, divided government, Republicans and Democrats had very different views of the world. But I think that's something that we seem to be missing now. There's a feeling that government just doesn't work and so much of our institutions are broken. And I don't think that was the case when Reagan was president, and I think the public is looking for somebody that can begin to repair some of our big institutions.
Frank, let's look at this from how each of the political parties views Reagan now. When the more conservative wing of the party is clashing with leadership, you kind of have both sides claiming the mantle of Reagan. Some saying, you know, Reagan wouldn't have a home in the party. The conservatives are so conservative. Now others saying the leadership now is exactly what Reagan ran against Gerald Ford in 1976. It's been 20 years since Reagan spoke publicly about anything, so it's kind of hard to know exactly what he'd think about specific debates now. But do either have a claim to accuracy in that debate?
Well, first, I don't think it's true that Reagan couldn't be nominated in today's Republican Party. I mean, look at our last two nominees, John McCain and Mitt Romney. I mean, hardly ultra-right wingers. So I think, you know, Reagan would still fit very comfortably within the consensus of the modern Republican Party. I will say this. I mean, Reagan was always a conservative and took conservative positions, tried to move the political spectrum to the right. That being said, he was not on a fool's errand. I mean, he was always somebody practical enough to understand the importance of governing. And so I don't think you'd ever see him go over the side of the cliff, I think you'd always see him to look to make the best deal possible. So I think that's something that we can remember. You know, let's be strong philosophically, try to get the best deal we can, but let's not be so rigid that we don't get something, so that we can at least try to move the country forward.
The most fascinating reflection on the Reagan legacy could potentially be how Democrats view him. Now, back then, of course, the Democrats controlled the House, and there were more conservative Democrats that helped him get his tax cut across and so forth. But the larger Democratic view of Reagan was that he was this nuclear cowboy, and his domestic policies showed that he didn't care about the poor. Nowadays, the only time President Obama, for example, seems to bring up Reagan is when he's pointing to something that he thinks helps advance his policy. So he's kind of this ally in retrospect for the Democrats than, of course, they viewed him at the time. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, Reagan and Obama, very strange bedfellows, don't you think? No, look, it's true. I mean, there is a segment of the Democratic Party that has honestly looked at the Reagan years and have said what you said, which is, hey, look, I mean, his record was pretty good, and he moved the country the country was better off 8 years after he was elected. Then there's the other part of the party, like the current president, who quotes Reagan when it's convenient for him. In other words, he'll find these tiny little areas where he and Reagan seemingly agree, and he uses that just to attack the rest of the Republican Party, say, look, I agree with Reagan on this, and the Republicans don't. I mean, the classic example was him citing Reagan's support for a 28% capital gains tax, which is what is in his budget. Well, of course, what he doesn't point out is that Reagan favored 28% for all income, and Obama's now over 40% and trying to go even higher. So it's selective, very selective quotation on the president's part.
Frank, exit question. Reagan's been out of office now over a quarter of a century. Do you get the sense that his legacy is pretty well cemented now?
I don't know that legacies are ever cemented, Greg. They seem to go up and down over time. After he left office in 1988, or I should say when Bill Clinton was elected, it was widely ascribed to Reagan's neglect of basic policies for 8 years, and so his reputation was lower. And of course, I think since then, the end of the Cold War, and just taking a look at his policies over a longer period of time, people have come to a different conclusion. So everybody's legacy goes up and down. However, I do think that the idea of 18 million new jobs and the end of Soviet communism and totalitarianism is something that will survive the ages, and that the president's legacy will continue to be very strong.
Frank, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for helping us take a look back.
Okay, thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
Frank Donatelli, former political director in the Reagan White House, former chairman of GOPAC. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.